WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
What could a Trump presidency mean for gun violence prevention in Chicago? I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. The Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, passed by President Joe Biden, uses billions of dollars to help fund community violence prevention programs, red flag laws, mental health centers, and more. That funding is set to last through 2026. But now the question is, what happens after that? Some advocates worry that President-elect Donald Trump's administration would cut funding and undo a lot of work already in progress. The nonprofit newsroom The Trace covers gun violence in America, and they spoke with three local leaders to understand how Trump's presidency could impact gun violence prevention in the city. So we sat down with Trace reporter Rita Oseguera. I began with the question, how does the Safer Communities Act work?
It's an omnibus bill, so there's a lot of things in it. One of the things it has is making sure that gun dealers are regulated better, and if they're not following practices of background checks, then they can have their license removed, revoked, and making sure that they're held accountable, basically. Mm. So there's also issues around that in that law. But the main issue that people in Chicago are worried about is the funding and making sure that the programs that they have started and that they see are working on the ground continue to work.
So help us understand that overall concern then. How much of that funding comes here to Chicago?
It's a bit difficult to have an exact number because it does come from different departments. We were able to show that some millions go to CPS, is specifically for trauma-informed practices and dealing with mental health issues. And then another million go to community violence intervention programs, and that comes from a different department.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still working on a future story that can look at the specifics of where that funding went and how much money actually is going where.
Yeah. In 2022, Chicago's Metropolitan Family Services received $2 million from the DOJ's Justice Programs Community Violence Intervention and Prevention Initiative, partly funded by this legislation. And last year, CPS received $14.4 million to create a sustainable infrastructure for trauma-informed mental health services. So, yeah, it does, to your point, sort of run the gamut in how it's spread out.
Yes.
If you will. There are a couple concerns that some people have here. So number one, funding being cut and that Safer Communities Act disappearing. And number two, the funds going to something else like law enforcement, as I mentioned. So why are these such big concerns, Rita? And where does the concern that the funding could be cut, where does that come from in the first place?
So the Trump administration and spokespeople have said before that they do want to prioritize law enforcement. And to be fair, a lot of Chicagoans that I've spoken to also want to prioritize that. And you hear that with Cory Brooks, that he does want more law enforcement in areas that are hurting from gun violence.
And Cory Brooks being the founder of Project Hood.
Yes.
A local organization.
And so there are some concerns there. Some people do want to prioritize law enforcement because they want to reduce crime. And other people are worried that law enforcement might exacerbate the problem and cause more incarceration, which then cause the ripping apart of families, which then cause another cycle of violence all over again. You have children that might not be raised by their parents, and then the cycle just continues. So some people are really worried about that focus in law enforcement because of that.
President-elect Trump, I mean, he hasn't minced words at all when it comes to this. He's been very vocal about where he stands on gun violence and other issues and changes that he plans to make. Walk us through what we're hearing so far and what gives us a sense of what he will do with this money. What has he said?
Yeah, so some of the worries going back to the licensing of gun dealers. The ATF is something that's been a priority for the Biden administration. He's provided a lot of funding for it and a lot of zero tolerance policies around it.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, there's been a lot of focus on data collection and transparency around that. And that's really important because not only do you know why gun dealers are having their licenses revoked, but we're following those numbers of guns that are coming into different cities, coming into different states, things like that. And then he has said that he's going to cut the funding for the ATF. And
Trump.
Then, yes.
Trump said he's going to cut funding for ATF. Didn't he also say he might even get rid of the head of the ATF as well?
Yeah, he said he would remove the person that was put in charge, which took years. There wasn't someone in charge for a long time. So the Biden administration was able to finally put someone in charge. And we saw that progression. More licenses were revoked. So we did see that there was changes being made in that field. So now that might be reversed and people are worried about that. Mm. And it's a concern for Chicagoans, too. They're worried about the guns coming in to their streets. And that's something that helps regulate that.
So we're already seeing here the impact that those dollars have had on our gun violence prevention programs and other similar efforts.
Yes.
So you spoke with three local leaders, as I alluded to earlier. You wanted to get their thoughts on how the result of this election could affect these programs. So you talked with UChicago trauma surgeon Dr. Tanya Zacherson, Southside Violence Prevention Organization Project Hood's founder Corey Brooks, and Chicago's Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability, or CCPSA's 24th District Counselor Veronica Ariola, who we're going to hear from in just a few minutes. Tell us more about what you heard from them and their reactions just to the overall news of Donald Trump being our next president.
Yeah, it was a mix, and we kind of wanted to get that mix because there is a mix in Chicago.
Yes.
But overall, the worry is not even the worry, but the want is for continued funding across the board. That was the main thread between all of them that connected them. And also a connecting thread was that they want people to still continue doing the work despite whatever the government does. That shouldn't stop the work that's being done in the ground by communities and by organizations. And a lot of organizations said, if we don't get the money, we'll find a way to make the money. We'll reach out to the community. We'll do it together.
Mm.
So there was that resounding hopefulness still, despite whatever changes may happen and despite whatever differences politically people might have.
Dr. Zacherson, when she was mentioning her concerns, specifically said a cut to funding is going to threaten her team. What did she mean?
Yes, she has a program, and her team have a program in the University of Chicago that pairs, it's a medical legal partnership, and it pairs lawyers with the violence recovery team at the trauma center in the University of Chicago. And it allows people who have dealt with gun violence, lawyers to deal with issues like housing issues, receiving benefits, and just being able to have stability after gun violence is super important. So that's helped a lot. And the data that they have around that has shown that it has been effective. And they have funding right now through programs that are funded by this gun violence prevention money that's coming, that has been coming these following years. So,
and they don't want to lose that.
They don't want to lose it.
Yeah. And Pastor Corey Brooks doesn't believe that Trump will reduce investments. Why?
Yeah, he thinks that Trump's administration is really focused on reducing crime, and he thinks a vital part of that is investing in the communities and that have been doing this work. So he feels that that will continue.
Yeah, one of the things that the pastor mentions in your story is, quote, giving power back to our police departments and allowing them to do the work is only going to make things better for our communities, end quote.
Yes, and that goes back to the idea that a lot of community members do want more law enforcement in these areas. They want to see that presence. And again, other people have concerns over it that might lead to more incarceration, and that's maybe not the solution for some people.
So what are you going to be watching out for next?
I'm going to be following this money.
Yep.
We're going to be looking at the ATF as well and see how that's affected.
Yeah.
We're going to be following this closely, and hopefully we'll provide people more answers.
I feel like you won't have to wait too long. Trump seems like he's ready to take action, for sure. That's the Trace reporter, Rita Oseguera. Thank you so much for making the time.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
We turn now to one of the leaders Rita spoke to, Veronica Ariola, 24th District Counselor for Chicago's Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability, or CCPSA. I asked what her thoughts were on funds possibly going from community-based programs to law enforcement. Here's Veronica.
We're really concerned that the funds being diverted from community programs and community services is going to only exacerbate violence and crime in the city. It needs to be an and with preventing violence. Mm-hmm. In Chicago, we have a lot of crime prevention, violence prevention programs that we believe are working and are using folks who had been in the incarceration system and have turned their lives around and are now trying to do the same thing on the street and preventing that violence so that the police do not have to get involved. And I think that's a win-win for everybody. If we can do that, it's actually less expensive to fund crime prevention than to fund more police officers on the street or locking people up, the judicial system. It's a very expensive process and a very traumatic process.
I want you to tell us more about that. Why would money go to law enforcement in the first place? What would an investment in policing look like?
I think the way that the Trump has been talking about crime and violence, particularly around Chicago, his favorite topic, is more incarceration. So it's just going after people who look like they're going to cause crime, loitering, and just locking people up. And the way that we have seen the switch from a restorative justice mindset around even the district attorneys, and we've swung the other way. Mm-hmm. We are going to be locked. The motion is to lock more people up.
Yeah.
And so we need to be able to try to find a way to continue to fund our community groups that are going to keep people out of that system and create safer communities, a wholer communities.
Yeah. So talk more then about how a change like this would affect the CCPSA and your work.
Well, our work as district counselors is to be liaisons to the community. This is a new space for Chicago, for Chicagoans to have their own voice heard in the public safety and police accountability system. And we are, as a city, under a police decree. We are supposed to be working on police reform in many different directions. Mm-hmm. And this district council method is one way. So we are going to need, if we are going to be moving to a system where people are going to be more and more incarcerated, I think that it's just going to impact that way that people want to come out and talk about our communities, how to be safe. People are coming out and they want to see more patrols because people are worried. But I do believe we just had a meeting a couple of months ago where we talked about some of the restorative justice courts in Cook County. And there was a huge turnout for that. And people are very interested in bringing that model to the 24th District on the far north side of Chicago. Because while people are scared and worried, I think there are far more people who understand that if we can nip this thing in the bud, we can stop violence from actually happening. Our communities are safer than it is to allow violence to happen and then have a police response.
Yeah, it's like almost like you have this sort of level of trust that you've got going right now between your group and the community members who are coming and having these open dialogues with you. Then if we turn to a system where more lockups are happening, for instance, people will start to
absolutely
quiet down, right? So what do we know about the impact of grassroots violence prevention programs on violence in this city?
What we know is that, as I was saying, that there are people who are, a lot of the people who are doing this violence prevention were formerly incarcerated, had been part of the system, had interactions with police. And so they know how to address young people who are thinking about going down this road.
Again, that trust.
And that trust, absolutely. And the way that some of these gangs are set up is that if somebody wants to turn their life around, they're not going to go to the police and give evidence, give testimony, but they will probably more likely trust that person that they saw growing up who is now maybe as a district counselor,
has
a job, they've, quote, turned their life around, and to see that there is a different path. And that's what we want to see, because that strengthens our communities. Removing people in a traumatic way from our communities only weakens us.
Are philanthropic dollars and grants not enough?
It's not enough. No. We are faced with an administration that is going to be trying to traumatize us in many different ways. And there's just not enough money in the community for us to shelter people who are now, who are experiencing homelessness, deportation, preventing violence. So much. It's just, it's too much for the community to handle on its own. We need federal funds. We need state funds. We need the governor when he says he's going to defend Illinois. Mm-hmm. And this, what it means to defend Illinois is to fund violence prevention.
Like put your money where your mouth is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so regardless, though, this may very well be the direction that we turn to, where funds dry up with a new administration. So talk more then about anything that's being done to prepare just in case this funding does go away.
I mean, I think every community organization is preparing in their own way. We are going to prepare to continue to do our jobs and holding monthly meetings so people can look up on the CCPSA website, their district, find out when those meetings are happening, mm-hmm. and get engaged. And find a way to just get engaged and lock in and see how you can help with keeping our community safe, mm-hmm. and strong, because we have to take care of each other.
And getting in on the forefront.
Yes,
right? Before
absolutely.
A change comes down.
Yes. We're new. We're only like 18 months old.
Yeah.
This whole system is only 18 months old, and people continue every day still learning about us. And we welcome everyone out to all of our meetings and seeing what you can do. Like I said, one of the things we want to do is bring the criminal courts to the 24th district,
right.
and just looking for ways that the community can just connect in and support each other.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. We've been talking to Veronica Ariola, who's the 24th district counselor for Chicago's Community Commission for Public Safety and Accountability. Got to get used to that, right?
Yes.
Thanks for making the time, Veronica.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Ari Mejia. To make sure you don't miss any of our conversations here at Reset, click subscribe so you don't miss a conversation. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely.